And amen. Our text for today is the verse number 9 of Joshua chapter 1 as we continue on with our studies in this book and in the life of this servant of God. Here you have God speaking to Joshua. He says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Now, before any battle or war, the commanding officer will speak to his troops and to the men under his command. He will speak to them and he will tell them about the object of the battle and what lies before them. He will also give them orders for the completion of the object of that battle or campaign. He will also remind them of their responsibilities when they are in the midst of the fight, even taking on the enemy. But he will also seek to encourage them and to rally their spirits and to lift up their morale before they enter into the conflict. Well, in our Bible reading today, here we have before us, I believe, God's pre-battle speech to Joshua of old. Yes, these words before us that we've read today are really God's marching orders to Joshua before they were to enter in and to take and possess the land of Canaan. And that pre-battle speech, those marching orders, they culminate, they conclude in the words of our text this morning in verse 9, where God says to Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Now, God's marching orders here to Joshua have some very important lessons to every child of God and to the church of Christ itself. And it is those lessons I want us to ponder and to consider for a little while this morning. First of all, I want you to see here the commands in God's marching orders to Joshua. Notice how our text begins. God says, "Have not I commanded thee?" And that speaks to us of the fact that God here was giving certain commands to Joshua as he was about to invade the land of Canaan. What were those commands? It's good to ask these questions and to search the scriptures for an answer to them. What were these commands? Well, I believe there was a command to be active. Go back to verse 2 at the beginning of the chapter. Notice what God says there in the middle of that verse to Joshua. He says, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan." Notice that word arise. It's a verb. It's a doing word. It's a word that speaks of action, of arousal. As I pointed out last week, this river was now in full flood. It was a raging torrent. But despite the river being in full flood, despite there being no bridges for Joshua to cross over, despite Joshua having no boats or ships at his disposal, and despite him having some 2.5 million people under his command, Joshua here is commanded by God to arise and to prepare to cross over this great river, the river of Jordan, in full flood and possess the land of Canaan. God says, "Arise, Joshua." He says, "Joshua, don't you be sitting back on a couch of idle unbelief. Don't you be sitting back, Joshua, at ease in Zion." And dear Christian, this morning, just as you and I are to work hard in our daily employment, if we have health and strength and opportunity to do so, so also, dear child of God, you are to labor for God. You are to labor as a believer in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Remember what Christ says to his people in Matthew 21 and the verse 28. He says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Notice that word, work. Believer, you have only one life on this earth. And child of God, only what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ will stand the test of time and the test of God's great eternity. The hymn writer says, work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Oh, Christian, I say to you today, do not delay in working for Christ. Do not procrastinate. Because the Lord's commandments to you as a believer to work, the Bible says, are not grievous. They're for your good. They are for your blessing. And the blessing of the Church of Christ. Be active, dear Christian. Arise from the couch of ease. Arise from the slumber that seems to be engulfing the Church of Christ in the 21st century. Give your life to the work of God and to the witness of Christ. There's a command here to be active, but there's another command. Notice also here that there is a command to be strong. Look at how the Lord speaks here again to Joshua in the beginning of our text. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong. Now, if you go back to verse 6 and to verse 7, you'll see similar words at the beginning of those verses. God says there in verse 6 to Joshua, be strong. And again in verse 7, he says, only be thou strong. And the Lord here wasn't speaking about physical strength. He was speaking here to Joshua about spiritual strength. And on a daily basis, as he would lead the nation into the promised land, Joshua was a man who needed to be spiritually strong as he faced a multitude of enemies and evils in the land of Canaan. Hence the Lord says to him, be strong. He says there, only be thou strong, Joshua. You think back to David giving counsel to his young son Solomon. As he takes up the throne in Israel, he gave him a similar command. He said to David, be strong and dread not. David, be strong and don't be afraid. And child of God, let me say this, the Lord gives you a similar command. Because you have many enemies to face in your Christian life. The Christian life is no bed of roses. It's a battle from the day you are saved till you enter into heaven and glory itself. Turning your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 6. And here you'll see how Paul speaks to the Christian about the battle and about the need to be strong. Look at verses 6 to 10 there, verses 10 to 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That means be strong in God's grace and God's help and God's enablement. Verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against, notice it, the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. You notice the ones there, Christian, that you've got to fight? The things you've got to do battle with in the Christian life at the end of verse 11, Christian, you've got to face day by day the wiles of the devil. You've got to wrestle there in verse 12 with the principalities, with the powers of darkness in this world, with spiritual wickedness. And notice those things are all in the plural. That speaks, yes, of the devil. But it also speaks of the multitude of the fallen demons and angels that are at the beck and call of the devil to war against the people of God and the Church of Christ. Dear Christian, let me say to you this morning, you cannot face these enemies in your own strength. You're no match for them. But child of God, by the Lord's grace, by the Lord's power, you can. And you can be victorious. Yes, there was a command to be active, a command to be strong. Notice something else here from the Lord to Joshua. There was a command to be courageous and don't be dismayed. Look at what the Lord goes on to say in our text to Joshua. He says, be strong. Notice the next words. And of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Again, if you go back to verses 6 and 7, you'll see similar words. And Christian, it's important when God writes the same thing within the space of a few verses in your Bible. This is something that's very important. We're to sit up and take note and listen here to what God says to you. This is vitally important for us as God's people. Look at verse 6. He says, be strong again and be of a good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong. And notice it. He emphasizes it further. And be very courageous. Now, what does that word courageous mean there? It really means to be steadfast. It means to be confirmed in something. In other words, Joshua here was to be steadfast in doing God's will at this time. He was to be steadfast in cleaving to the Word of God. No doubt there would be times in his life when he would face discouragement. No doubt there would be times in his life when he would face disappointment. No doubt there would be times in his life when maybe trusted people would let him down. But Joshua was to allow nothing. He was to allow no one to keep him back from serving God, from obeying God's Word, and from doing God's will for his life at this time. You know, it has been said that the measure of a man's Christian faith is seen by what it takes to stop him from doing God's will and obeying God's holy Word. Now, sadly, in the Church of Christ, there are many Christians, and they start out well on the Christian life. But then maybe through the fear of man, maybe through adversity against them as a Christian, maybe through discouragement in their life, or maybe through a love for the world, or maybe even through a bitter spirit, what happens is they turn away from God. They turn back from God. They turn away from the will of God for their lives. They turn away from the Word of God that God has for them. Oh, Christian, let me say to you this morning, God, as He speaks to your heart, indeed as He speaks to my heart through the words of this text, what does He say to us? He says, Christian, be of good courage, Christian. He says there, do not be afraid. Be not afraid. He says, neither be thou dismayed. Christian, this morning, until the Lord comes, or until the Lord calls you home to glory, whenever that will be, Christian, you are to be steadfast in doing God's will for your life. Let no one or nothing turn you back from the will of God. You are to be steadfast in obeying God's Word, God's truth to you as a believer. Remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the sad tragedy today in the Church of Christ and the work of God at large is many who once walked well with God now turned away from the Lord, following afar off, following in the world, following in bypass meadow. Christian, let it not happen. Go on with God. Notice something else here. There was a command to live by God's Word to Joshua from the Lord. Look at verse 7 of the chapter. The Lord says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Now who was Joshua? He was a leader. He was the leader of the nation. You know, his work here as leader of the nation did not exempt him from submitting to the rule of God's Word for his life. God says there in verse 7 to Joshua, Joshua, you're not to turn from God's Word. You're not to turn to the right hand or to the left hand, so to speak. And believer, let me say to you today, in your home life, in your leisure time, in your daily vocation and employment, and in God's work, you are to live by the rule of God's Word and God's truth. Turning your Bible over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse number 16 and 17 of that chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul here is writing to Timothy, yes, but here he is writing to all the church of Christ as well. Verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Dear child of God, if you're to be a man of God, if you're to be a woman of God, Christian, you are to live by the rule
of God's word, God's truth. You know, if a Christian thinks they can live above the rule of God's word and they can do away with God's word in their life and it doesn't matter, what does it lead to? It leads to a testimony that dishonors the Lord. It leads to a testimony that robs God of His honor and of His glory. Christian, you're to live by the word of God, no matter what the world says. No matter what liberal or ecumenical churchmen may say or other believers would say, you are to live by God's word. This is why God has given us His word to us. Yes, he was to live by God's word. Notice something else here, that God's word was to be in Joshua's mouth. Look at verse 8 of the chapter 1 of Joshua. Notice what God says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In his general conversation, and also in his words as leader and governing and ruling over the people of Israel, everything he said as a Christian for Joshua was to be in agreement with the word of God and with the truth of God. Child of God, the same applies to you and I as Christians. Our daily speech is to glorify God. Remember Paul said to the Christians in the book of Ephesus, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And Christian, and in all your work for God, whatever that work is, not just preaching, but everything you do for God, be it a Sunday school class, a children's meeting, witnessing, giving out tracts, whatever, you are to be faithful and to be true to what God's word says and what is found in the Bible. You remember what the Lord said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23 verse 8. He said, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. You're to be faithful, Christian, to the word of God. Notice something else here from verse 8. God's word was to be in Joshua's heart. Look at what's said there further in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, notice it, therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He was to meditate upon it day and night. I'm sure people, if we were living in the day of Joshua, we would have said Joshua is a very, very busy man. He was the leader of the nation at this time. He had many duties to tend to. But you know, the busyness of his life did not excuse him as a Christian from spending time in the Word of God day and night, day by day. And Christian, let me say to you today, no matter how busy you are, we live in a busy world. And I believe that's part of the devil's ploy to sidetrack God's people and to take them away from the things of God. But no matter how busy you are, it is vital, Christian, for your spiritual good, for your spiritual well-being, that daily you as a Christian spend time in the prayerful reading and study of the Word of God for your own soul and for your own spiritual profit. You turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. I want you to see what the Lord says in verse 4 of this chapter. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. And bear in mind the context here is the time of temptation for the Lord. And look at what the Lord says about the Word of God. And he refuted the devil in this whole temptation through the Word of God. And here he is speaking not just to the disciples, but to every Christian in verse 4 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. It says there, but he answered and said, it is written. This is what God has written with his own pen in the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Christian, you're to live by the Word of God. As you take your daily food, and I'm sure we all love our food. We all like a good meal set before us, breakfast and dinner and tea. We don't like to miss it. But dear people, as we attend to the physical needs of our body, much more importantly, as Christians, we've got to attend to the spiritual needs of our soul. Spending time daily in the prayerful reading and study of God's Word. Christian, if your Bible could talk this morning, what would it say? Would it say, yes, my owner reads me every day? My owner maybe reads me twice a week. Maybe it would say, oh, my owner just opens me once a week. How is it with you, Christian? Are you reading God's Word? Are you feeding your soul daily in the Word of God? This is vital for our good, our spiritual health as God's people. Why, if you were to miss your meals, your dinner, your breakfast, your tea, as you miss the reading of the Word of God, think of how sickly you'd be. Think of how unhealthy you'd be. How we need to give ourselves to the Word of God. And that is why it is important, dear people, why we should come to God's house on the Lord's Day morning and the Lord's Day evening. God, through that, gives you and I an opportunity to set aside the things of time and sense, to feed our souls afresh upon the Word of God. Again, Christian, that is why it is important for you to come to the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study on a Thursday night. That again gives you an hour in the middle of the week to set aside your work, your tasks, whatever those are, that you can come around the Word of God afresh. Hear the Lord speaking to your heart. Hear the Lord speaking to your soul. How is it with you today, child of God? Tell me, do you read your Bible? Do you open the Bible? I heard of a brother there speaking about his own brother who got saved. I don't know if the other brother is a Christian or not. He spoke of his brother who got converted. And he spoke of him in public testimony. He was at a certain function and he spoke of his brother and he said, I noticed the change in my brother's life. Because when he got saved, he was sitting at home often with his Bible open, reading and studying the Word of God. Christian parent, what sort of an example are you setting before your children? Do your children ever see you reading the Bible? Father and mother, do you ever open the Word of God with your children? Gather them around the family altar and pray for them and read the Scriptures to them and teach them the things of God. What a blessing it is to have a family altar, to pray with your children, to read the Word of God to your children. I tell you, it will not be lost. It will stand them in good stead as they grow up and as they go out into the world. I want to end this morning with another point to cover, but if we do that, you'll not be home for your dinner. We'll just leave it at the first point today as we look here at these marching orders, as we look at these commands that the Lord gave to Joshua. But I want just to leave in closing with the words of King George III as he spoke of the Bible. This is what he said. And oh, that royalty and those in power today would say the same things about the Bible. But he said this: it is the King's best copy. It's the magistrate's best rule. It's the housewife's best guide. It's the servant's best directory. It is the young man's best companion. Tell me, Christian, is it your best companion? Is it your best directory? Is it your best guide? Is it your best rule? Is it your best copy? Do you love the Word of God? Think of the little chorus we often love to sing. I have a wonderful treasure, gift of God without measure, and so we'll travel together, my Bible and I. This was part of God's marching orders to Joshua. The commanding officer speaks to his men. He gives them a book, so to speak, a directory. This is God's directory to Joshua. And Christian, this is God's directory to you and to I. Let us love God's Word. Let us read it. And let us do all we can by the grace of God to live it out in our lives day by day for Jesus' sake and for His honor and for His glory.